Now it's time to check in on the state of science.
This is KERA
for WWNO,
St. Louis Public Radio,
Iowa Public Radio News.
Local science stories of national significance. A little over a month ago, scientists from the U.S., Russia, Canada, Japan, and South Korea embarked on a collaborative scientific survey to track wild salmon in the North Pacific Ocean. Then Russia invaded Ukraine, setting in motion, as you can imagine, a substantially more tense political situation to navigate. Yet despite the tension, scientists have opted to continue to collaborate in pursuit of understanding the recent fluctuations in the wild salmon population. Joining me now to talk about his reporting on the topic is Eric Stone, news director of KRBD, based in Ketchikan, Alaska. Eric, welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Before we get into the details of this research project, let's start with some basics of a salmon's life cycle, okay, for those of us who might need a refresher. What is the salmon run?
Okay, so salmon spend part of their lives in freshwater and part of their lives in saltwater. They're what's called an anadromous fish. And basically what happens is they hatch from eggs in these rivers, and then they swim out to sea after fattening up just a little bit. And they spend a little while out there, generally 2 to 5 years, depending on the species, eating things like herring and squid and all kinds of stuff. And then towards the end of their lives, they swim back up the river to deposit eggs and fertilize the eggs and start the cycle over. And they can swim sometimes more than 2,000 miles in at least one river in Alaska.
Wow.
And as they swim up the river, they don't eat. It's remarkable. And in Western Alaska in particular, and, you know, frankly, all over Alaska, these salmon are vital sources of food for indigenous people. People catch them in nets and fish wheels, and people catch them with rods and reels as well. It's an important cultural phenomenon. People construct these things called fish camps where they go and gather, you know, their food source for the winter and catch all these salmon. And, you know, not to mention, commercial salmon fishing is a huge industry here in Alaska that employs lots of people. It also feeds people all over the United States and all over the world.
And so there are lots of rivers in Alaska where the salmon are running, and maybe they fluctuate about the number of salmon that are migrating.
That's right. Yeah. So the salmon runs on these various rivers. They fluctuate in weird ways, and we don't totally know why. So I'll give you a few examples. Pink salmon harvests here in southeast Alaska were among the lowest in decades in 2020. And then in 2021, pink salmon beat the forecast by a good bit.
Wow.
King salmon stocks all over southeast Alaska are also in trouble. Like, fishing for any salmon near the mouth of a major river here in Ketchikan has been banned outright for years. But it's really in western Alaska where the salmon runs have been in crisis the most recently. So in 2020, the Yukon River chum salmon run faltered. Chum salmon is a species of salmon, one of the 5 Pacific salmon species. And then in 2021, the run totally collapsed. There were so few fish that people were not allowed to fish. And that's, you know, a large component of how people feed themselves. Authorities had to ban fishing up and down the river to preserve what little of the run remained. And it was a massive shock to people who depend on salmon, go to great lengths to replace it. One resident told Olivia Eberts of radio station KYUK in that area that he took his river-going skiff into the dangerous waves of the Bering Sea. But runs on the Kuskokwim River have also been faltering. Mike Williams Sr. of the Kuskokwim Intertribal Fish Commission, that's an organization that manages and researches salmon in the area, told me that he's worried about runs all over the region.
We depend on the salmon to sustain us through the winter. And we're very concerned about the returns of our salmon in all of the rivers in western Alaska.
And while the salmon run collapsed in that area on the Yukon River and is trending down on the Kuskokwim River, that same year in 2021, the sockeye salmon run in Bristol Bay, which is a giant commercial fishery, that set a new record.
That's amazing. So what you want to know and what the scientists want to know is why this wild fluctuation is going on.
Yeah, that's right. And the problem is we don't know. Most of the effort that's gone into studying salmon has been focused on what happens in freshwater, you know, where they reproduce.
Right.
Scientists think that issues happen in the open ocean while they're out fattening up. There has been some research, and there are a few theories. I'll run through a couple of those. One is bycatch, the idea that salmon at sea are getting scooped up in the nets for sole and flounder or pollock, accidentally caught, more or less. Another is that hatcheries, basically there are these facilities where salmon are raised from eggs into, you know, juvenile salmon, and they're artificially enhancing wild populations. And one of the theories is that those artificially enhanced populations are outcompeting wild salmon. And then the third theory is that climate change is messing with the food web. That's, you know, warmer ocean, more acidic. So we know the ocean is changing, but not as much how the salmon are reacting to the condition. It's kind of a big black box.
What is the 2022 Pan-Pacific Winter High Seas Expedition? And how will it help test some of these theories?
So basically, it's a giant effort to study what happens in the black box of the open ocean during the winter. So vessels from three of the five countries you said at the top, the U.S., Canada, and Russia, they're out canvassing the North Pacific as we speak right now. They're putting a net down to see what kind of salmon there are. And the reason they're doing it during the winter is that winter is an especially tough time for salmon. There's not as much food, and this is where it's hypothesized that most of them die. So this is a good time to figure out what's going on with the population. So the idea is to give a better idea of how salmon are reacting with predators, with each other, with ocean conditions, kind of shine some light in that black box.
Yeah, given the current political situation, is the survey going on as planned? Has there been any talk about not cooperating or eliminating Russia from this survey?
So I haven't heard any talk about, you know, cutting Russia out. They're doing a massive amount of work on this subject. And the survey is still going ahead. There have been some modifications. One, an interesting thing is that one of the survey vessels from Russia, the one that's covering an area that goes from about the middle of the Alaska Peninsula, so it's kind of even with the west coast of Alaska, all the way out to the almost the end of the Aleutian chains. They actually tied up in Dutch Harbor, that's the deadliest catch port, a day after Russians invaded Ukraine and started their assault on Kyiv. And now what happened is that a U.S.-based scientist was not allowed to board. So what happens now is that Russians are not allowed to survey within the 230-mile exclusive economic zone of the United States, basically, you know, waters close to the United States, and that is going to have impacts on the results of the study. Doesn't mean the mission is a failure, according to one of the scientists I talked to, but it means that salmon activity within that area near the Aleutian chain is going to remain a mystery for now. So I spoke with Bill Templin. He's Alaska's chief salmon scientist, and he told me the five-country commission has worked together in times of tension before. He said some Russian scientists actually included disputed islands in some salmon stock maps, and the Japanese had to politely ask him to change the maps. So he said that was all in good fun, but this is quite a bit more tension than usual. Even so, Templin told me that the salmon scientists are used to putting their work first and their political leaders' policies second.
The salmon all go to the same place. And so for all of us to work together to understand what's happening out there and the way it affects our nations, I think it's a pretty huge deal, and I'd hate to see it go away.
And you can actually track all of these vessels. There are four of them from the U.S., Canada, and Russia. They're all on a map at yearofthesalmon.org.
Wow, I think I'm going to do that. Thank you, Eric. Great report.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. It was really a pleasure to be on.
Eric Stone, news director of KRBD, based in Ketchikan, Alaska.